How's it going, people? This is DJ Rains, and you are listening to episode 3 of Mindspace. As I said before, you are listening to episode 3 of Mindspace. This is a special episode for me, simply because up until now, I've been just kind of playing around, doing Mindspace on my own, throwing out a link every once in a while to the show, but not really promoting it. And with this episode, I think I'm finally ready, and I've thought about the show, and I've determined a direction for it, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce it to the community. And so if you've taken the time to about 20 or 30 minutes out of your day to download and listen to this podcast, I just want to say thank you. This is kind of like episode 1, but for me, technically in recording and what's been released, it's episode 3. So first of all, kind of introduce myself. I'd like to give a little bit of background of how I got involved with the community and how I got into podcasting. It all started for me with listening to the Post Game Report. Back then it was Sugar Free along with Heroic Superman, Soldier X, and Phoenix. And just kind of as a fan trying to enjoying listening to people talking about games, I eventually got connected with TAG, www.talkingaboutgames.com. Excellent community, fun game nights. They offer a really positive gaming experience, whether you're just wanting to blog, whether you just want to participate in forums, or if you want to go ahead and start to get to know people or get into the game nights. I would encourage anyone who's listening to this who isn't a part of TAG to check it out. It's a very good experience, and that's what introduced me to gaming. That is what introduced me to the gaming community. So the reason why I started this podcast is because I had been a very active listener at PGR. I'd email the guys, and I'd bug them and fill up their inboxes. And eventually Soldier X shot a message over Twitter just saying, "Hey, looking for a co-host for Gamers Transform. We'll talk about games." And if any of you don't know what Gamers Transform is, it is a podcast that focuses on one specific game with each episode and basically does a roundtable. Sometimes we'll go in depth with the story and we'll actually spoil the story. Sometimes we kind of stay out of spoiler areas for the most part, but we're always focused on one game, ripping it apart, what works with the game, what doesn't work, and it's just really fun to be a part of. Well, in any case, as you might guess, I shot him back a message on Twitter saying, "Hey, if you're looking for someone to blog for your site or co-host, I'd be interested." Well, we got together. We've done a few episodes already. It's been really fun, and I'm really grateful for that opportunity. And actually now our podcast is part of TAG. We don't have our own website. We're part of TAG now, which has been really good as far as connecting with the TAG community and kind of bringing everything back home where I started off in the community, so kind of coming full circle for me in about the course of a year. But with respect to my participation on Gamers Transform, I didn't want to be deadweight, and I didn't want to just show up, offer my opinion, and then disappear and not be able to offer anything else in terms of the podcast. So, in addition to that, podcasting, a lot of people don't think this, but it is actually a skill. It requires radio skills just like a disc jockey or anybody else on talk radio. Podcasting requires skills. And so, as such, what I wanted to do was create another podcast kind of on the side, not real big, something I could just play around with to improve. You know, I wanted to learn how to edit. I wanted to learn how to mix in music. I wanted to learn how to make show notes, do all that stuff so that I could actually add something to Gamers Transform and not just be dead weight. So that's where this podcast, Mindspace, came from. It was my own little learning ground, playground, I guess, toolbox, if you will, to try to develop some skills and get up to speed on some things, specifically so I could be better with the other podcast, Gamers Transform. Well, I've put out a few episodes. I've recorded many more episodes than I've actually put up on the internet and released. And it took me a while to find a direction. But I feel like I finally found a direction with the podcast, and so that's what I'm going to talk about. Basically, my goal is still to improve as a podcaster, still to learn more about it and improve in skills, and I can produce higher quality content. The other thing that I want to do, and this is kind of an association with the blog that I have on Tag, is I want to be able to offer an opinion on games that isn't normally heard. There are a lot of times when I'm listening to podcasts or I'm listening to a roundtable, and I'll hear four guys get together, talk about a game, rip it apart, and yet not say anything about certain aspects of the game or certain reasons why something in the game works or doesn't work. They'll just completely gloss over it or just completely omit it. And so in that sense, whenever I hear things like that and I feel like there's something else to be said about the subject, could be a game, could be anything else, I want a forum to be able to do that, and not just through writing. I love writing, but this is kind of an addition to writing. And so that's what this podcast is for. And also, the third reason why I'm doing this podcast is just to have fun. It's fun to get on. It's fun to talk, record yourself, shoot it out there, and see what people think, good or bad. You know, good feedback is always welcome, but you learn from mistakes and from criticism. So I'm always open to criticism. Will I ever have a co-host on this podcast? Well, I do have a co-host chair that is empty, but it is actually reserved. It is reserved for my wife. If she ever wants to put on a headset, I actually bought her a headset and she has Skype, but if right now she's not that into podcasting, definitely not as much into it as I am, but if she ever wanted to participate and be part of the podcast, that's who the co-hosting seat would be reserved for. Otherwise, I really don't see having a co-host for this, but I am open to having guests, so I don't know how that will develop in the future, but I'll give my info out at the end of this so that if anyone wants to be a guest or want to get around together and talk about something specific, of course, I would be open to that. I don't ever expect to really make money off of podcasting. That's one thing that I hope a whole bunch of people don't get into podcasting thinking, because from what I've heard from people who have been in the industry much longer than me, you won't last long. It is very difficult to make a living with this, so, I mean, I really don't think I'll ever make money on it. If I ever did, it would just be kind of like a little bit of a bonus, something to offset the money I spend on video games. But otherwise, you know, not really expecting to ever make money off of podcasting. But it's just something to do that I enjoy, something to hopefully improve as a podcaster, and then get an opinion out there that hopefully you haven't heard yet. So, for this episode of Mindspace, one thing that I wanted to talk about was the morality system in video games. And this is brought up, you know, we've got Mass Effect coming up, and we've just had Deus Ex Human Revolution. And while these games shared a lot of similarities, when it came to the morality system, they were very different. And I started trying to think about why they were different. And really, for me, I think that the way I was introduced to a morality system in a video game at first was through Knights of the Old Republic and Star Wars games. For me, the morality system started out with good or bad side of the Force, or light or the dark side of the Force. Basically, you'd go through the game and you'd have opportunities to make choices, whether it was killing civilians or using light powers or dark powers or whatever it was, and then at the end, you choose one way or another, and that would be your alignment. And I think that that was something that BioWare did really well in Knights of the Old Republic, both 1 and 2. And then as a result, the Paragon Renegade system that they have in Mass Effect is simply an evolution of that, which is good in some ways, but I found whenever I played Deus Ex Human Revolution that I appreciated their approach of a more organic morality system. In Mass Effect, basically, you're constantly being told whether you're being good or bad. Oh, you did something good, so here's some good points, and these are the good conversation options that will open up to you, and blah, 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 or bad points. So, you know, you're constantly being hit over the head with, oh, by the way, there's this game system that's based around whether you're nice or not, and it's constantly being thrown in your face, which some people may like that. But what I found was it was much more interesting in Deus Ex to simply exist in the world, have these choices presented to you, and then have consequences that weren't tied to gameplay mechanics, as in, I get this power or I get that power because I was good or bad, or even conversation options. I've been really good. I'm really Paragon, so now I have this Paragon option it's like a win button in the conversation to get me out of this, or I have a renegade win button for the conversation. It wasn't like that. Basically, in Deus Ex, you would exist in the world, you'd make your choices. Some of them were obvious, some of them were just your style of play and what you got forced into through the game. But then there would be repercussions for those choices. There would be repercussions for those choices, and they weren't always apparent. And it wasn't always tied to, oh, you did this exactly right, or you did this exactly wrong. And that more organic approach to the game is something I really wish we could see more of. I understand the Renegade and Paragon system that has been set up in Mass Effect. I personally feel like it just goes back to, like I said, Knights of the Old Republic with the good and dark side of the Force. But I really wish that we had some more organic morality systems so that you could just exist in the world, affect it, and feel the repercussions of it without it having always being shoved down your throat that you're playing a game and here's your good points, your bad points, you know. So that's just my opinion. On that, and I really didn't hear many people discuss the morality system in Deus Ex that much, and so it's just something interesting to think about. Hopefully more games borrow that from Deus Ex, and we see more of a slide towards that more subtle, organic style for a morality system in a game. Second topic I'd like to talk about has to do with the Halo Reach update, title update that's upcoming, and who's playing Halo Reach now. Just looking at forums, it seems like the people who are playing Halo Reach has really tapered off even faster than Halo 3. I think that's because when it comes to Halo Reach, Bungie, in an effort to make the game more competitive, made combat a little bit more complicated. They took away your go-to guns. They had the sword not be an instant kill. You know, you could block it. And there were certain things that they just added to try to create a level of complexity to keep people hooked in for the long term. I don't think people reacted as well as they thought they would. Although Halo Reach is an awesome game, it's never far from my Xbox tray. I see reasons why the community didn't stick around for as long as it did, or isn't as committed to Halo Reach as it is to some of the, well, as it was to Halo 3. I'll just give you, for instance, my wife got into Halo 3. She'd play Halo 3. She enjoyed the maps. The combat was decent. She loved gunning on a Warthog. She became a pro with the charge him with the assault rifle and then melee him to kill him. I mean, she could get into it, and she just learned everything very well. So it was good. It was a good experience for her. When we turned on Halo Reach, though, the combat was just too complicated. It took another level of learning to get involved with it, and as a result, she just lost interest in it. So she really doesn't play Halo Reach. I mean, she will if one of her friends comes over and we have a game night or something, but for the most part, she really doesn't get into Halo Reach that much. And I think that's sad, because that means that the game has lost something in an effort to make the combat more interesting, that actually turns some people off from it. Which I guess is going to happen any time you change a combat system from one game to the next iteration in the franchise. But the reason why this is on my mind now is two things. First of all, we've got the Halo Reach title update that has occurred, and I just found out today that it evidently is live. And so the changes to the combat that 343 Industries is thinking about making, they have a beta playlist where you can play around in the maps with those changes in place. So that is something that we may want to check out, see what they're planning on doing. I'm a little bit concerned about it simply because I think what they're going to do is they're going to power up the DMR and the pistol. And while I loved having the BR and Halo 3 be my go-to gun, you know, that can be useful in all situations, I've appreciated in Reach the fact that they took that away because it gives you more options on how to play. You know, it gives you more options to shape the combat towards your playstyle. Because basically in Halo 3, your skill as a Halo 3 player was your skill as a DMR, with the battle rifle. And if you were a 50 with the battle rifle, you were a 50 in Halo 3. And if you were a 2 with the battle rifle, you were a 2 in Halo 3. With Reach, they really opened up the combat in a sense that, you know, once you learn the nuances of the more complicated system, it actually works out really well. Grenades are a potent tool to be used in multiplayer. The assault rifle seems like it's completely worthless until you figure out how to use it with the other combat systems, and then, you know, it becomes great, you know. For the first time ever in a Halo game, I finally did this in Reach. I went 17-6, and I got no headshots that game. It was all grenades, melee. It was the assault rifle kills. It was manipulating situations in which, to my advantage, based on my tool set, rather than I always had a DMR in my hands, and so I always won. My fear for the title update, that being said, is they're going to go back to Halo 3. They're going to take things backwards to where now you've got your go-to gun, and it is the determining factor in whether you win or you lose. You know, if your entire team's using the DMR and they're using it well, and your team's shooting, then the other team's not going to have a chance. But if no one's using the DMR, you're all going to die. I don't want that game again. We've grown, and we've I think they've helped us grow as Halo players, those people out there who are dedicated Halo players. I think I understand the full range of Halo, the combat system, better than I used to. And honestly, I think that we will lose something if they go backwards to what we had in Halo 3. But that's just my take on it. The second reason why the Halo community is of interest to me is Halo Reach really represented the epitome of what the Halo franchise grew into and could be. It was Bungie's last hurrah. They pulled out all the stops. They gave the community with Forge as many tools as they could before they left the scene, and they really did their best to make the best, purest Halo experience that they could. Gears 3, which just released this past September 20th, is in the same position Halo Reach is, in the sense that it is the best Gears experience we've had to date. It is the purest Gears experience. It epitomizes what people want out of a Gears game. I think in doing that, people are going to realize that they're not into Gears anymore. And I say that, I know there's always going to be diehard fans out there for Gears, just like there's always going to be diehard fans for Halo. I am a diehard Halo fan. I haven't had enough. I am going to buy Halo Anniversary. I'll play the new maps, and I'll buy Halo 4. I already know that right now. What I'm saying is, though, the community at large, who isn't dedicated to Gears or to Halo, is finding out that by the third, fourth, fifth iteration of these games, they're ready for something different, specifically something that rewards them when they play. I personally think that that is the appeal of the Modern Warfare franchise, because I've tried to think about it. Modern Warfare is not clearly superior as far as just pure gameplay in terms to Battlefield 3 or Halo or Gears. I can't say anything for Killzone or Resistance because I'm not familiar with those franchises, but in just getting into a map and what you're doing, I personally don't feel that the Call of Duty series is superior. What it does is it rewards people. It rewards you during the match, it rewards you after the match, and it creates an advantage over time for people who have been playing it, and you carry that into the next match. So, you know what, I got rewarded for playing tonight, because tomorrow night I'm still going to be a level 35, and I'm still going to have unlocked these guns, and people who haven't reached level 35 won't have these guns. So I'm still going to have these new tools that I earned tomorrow night, and the next night, and the next night after that. So I have a clear sense of progression as a player, and not only is my skill progressing, but I'm getting more effective tools with which to fight. I think that's the appeal of the Call of Duty franchise, is that it's actually rewarding people. And I'm sorry, I've played Battlefield, I like Battlefield, but when it comes to rewarding the player, the Call of Duty series or Modern Warfare, whichever one you want to talk about, does it better. They do. They invented, well, as far as I'm concerned and my knowledge base, they've invented that, they started out that, and they took a risk with doing that, and they are still the best at it. So, when it comes to terms of games like Halo and Gears that don't have those RPG, well, for all intents and purposes, RPG-style elements in play, I think that eventually their communities are not going to stick around. Because I know that, like, for instance, just Joe Blow game player, I know all my friends are going to buy Modern Warfare, I know I'm going to get rewarded, and I know that if this year in the series wasn't great, doesn't matter, because next November they're going to release a new one, they're going to hit the reset button, and I'll get a whole new opportunity to get together with whoever I game with and jump in again. That's something that the other franchises just aren't offering, and as has been shown, people are willing to drop $60 or more every year for Call of Duty. So it's kind of amazing, but because of that, I see the Gears 3 multiplayer community dropping off and dropping off fast. I think that if Epic got people to buy their little, not online pass, but DLC pack for $30, I think they made out. And I think that was something to get them, help them get the money for their DLC while the hype was there. Because I don't anticipate tons of people buying DLC next spring for Gears. All these games after Gears will have come out, the multiplayer communities will have moved on to other games, and you're going to have your hardcore dedicated fans playing the very best Gears multiplayer that's ever been released, but other than that, everyone else will have moved on to something new, most likely Modern Warfare 3, but for sure probably something else. Well, that is just my take on those few topics. Once again, I want to say thank you for listening if you've taken the time to go ahead and download this podcast. My Twitter is at Mindspace2. That's at Mindspace with the number 2. And you can hit me up on there. Let me know what you think of the show. Or if you want to be a guest. And, of course, if you want to give me feedback via email, my email is videogames.mindspace@gmail.com. So again, time is precious, so thank you for downloading this and taking 20 minutes or so out of your day to listen to it, and I hope you have a great day.